Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Iceberg Recap, your home for Pittsburgh Penguins game recaps and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from by simply searching Tip of the Iceberg. The Penguins, well, they end their four-game losing streak in interesting fashion with a 6-3 victory over the lowly San Jose Sharks at PPG Paints Arena. And the top storyline in this one didn't even have to do with the players on the ice. Top storyline was the bobbleheads. Where are the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads? The Penguins, they took it, made the best of a worse situation, had some good social content, and it's hilarious to me how many people think that this is still a work. The bobbleheads are stolen. The bobbleheads are gone. And I don't know who would steal 18,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads in California. The only explanation that I can come up with in my head is that the person misread it, thinking that somebody was spelling Jägermeister wrong, and they thought they were stealing 1,800 handles of Jaeger, and instead, they got bobbleheads of a hockey player that they probably have no idea who it is. But nonetheless, a storyline to follow. Maybe it keeps Jaromir Jagr in Pittsburgh a little bit longer. That much would be perfectly fine with me. He's certainly having the time of his life, and the social content coming from his Instagram is also entertaining and great for people who have been fans for a long time and certainly enjoy Jaromir Jagr and his antics. But on the ice, depth scoring was the story today for the Penguins. How about it? Fourth line, chipping in, all three players getting a point, two of them scoring a goal. You got a defenseman scoring a goal, as we'll get into, only his second of his career and his first game-winning goal of his career. So you had offense coming from everywhere, and it only took until the Penguins had, I believe, 3% chance left in the season for them to go out and start pitching in games where, you know, you needed to end the four-game losing streak. You needed to get back in the winning track. And I know Pat Damp of Locked On Penguins said the same thing on X yesterday, saying basically, nice of them to show up when everything seems all but lost. So there's still a little chance. Maybe if the depth scoring continues at this pace, the Penguins can make that miraculous run. But again, not holding my breath on that one. Let's get over to the goal recap, because it was a busy night for the goal horns. It started with the Penguins early in the first period. Noel Achari redirecting an Erik Karlsson shot for his fourth goal of the season. Drew O'Connor, who was absolutely flying around the offensive zone early in the game, was able to get a secondary assist on that one, his 13th of the season. That was huge for the Penguins, because the first 4 minutes of the game was all San Jose Sharks. It looked, as Nick Horwat said yesterday, it looked like a power play at 5-on-5, and then they actually did get a power play. Penguins able to stem the tide. Tristan Jarry specifically able to stem the tide, and then the Penguins take the 1-0 lead. They thought they took a 2-0 lead, but a lazy play by the on-ice official blows the play dead, when if he would have just skated about 2 feet forward and actually tried to find that puck before blowing the quick whistle, Brian Rust would have probably had a goal in this one, making it 2-0, but instead, it remained 1-0, and San Jose took advantage late in the first period. First, Fabian Zetterlund scores his 17th goal of the season. He was left wide open in front. Erik Karlsson giveth, and Erik Karlsson taketh away. He had the primary assist on the Penguins' opening goal, and he absolutely missed Zetterlund, the San Jose Sharks' leading goal scorer, wide open in front of the net for a tap-in goal on the Sharks' first goal of the game. Assists go to former Penguins prospect Kalen Addison, as well as Henry Thrun. So 1-1 there, and then in the final minute of the first period, a lucky bounce by San Jose. Marc-Edouard Vlasic, the wily veteran, goes behind the net, tosses the puck out in front, and bounces it off of Marcus Pettersson in behind Tristan Jarry. And in a period where it seemed like, for the most part, the Penguins were outplayed, it ended up looking like it on the score sheet. 2-1 in favor of the San Jose Sharks after one period, and then the Penguins turned it on a little bit to start the second frame. Jeff Carter, similar to Zetterlund's goal, gets basically a tap-in because of a nice play from Emil Bemström going behind the net, turning it around and laying that cross-crease pass right on Jeff Carter's stick. His 9th goal of the season, tying this one at 2. And then a little bit later, another fortuitous bounce. Evgeny Malkin takes the puck on the rush, banks it off of the San Jose Sharks goaltender to score his 19th goal of the season to get the Penguins back on top by a score of 3-2. Drew O'Connor picks up his 2nd assist of the night, and Lars Eller picks up his 10th of the season. A little bit later in the second period, final minute, once again, the Penguins fail to enter a period on a high note. Game is tied at 3 because of a Klim Kostin goal, another player with Penguins ties. Now, he was never drafted to the Penguins. He was never in the Penguins organization, but he was drafted with a pick that was traded away by the Penguins in exchange for Ryan Reeves in that St. Louis Blues trade. I don't know why I'm bringing that up, but I mean, it's the connection. He scores, assist goes to Mikael Granlund and Marc-Edouard Vlasic, who, as I didn't update on the graphic here, scored his 4th assist of the season for Vlasic on Kostin's 4th goal. Third period begins and the Penguins are tied. This is, you know, all important periods for the Penguins at this point because they're really hanging on by a thread when it comes to their playoff lives. So every period is important, but especially against the 29th ranked team in the National Hockey League, who, let's face it, are trying to get Macklin Celebrini. Now, you could argue the Penguins are trying to get him as well, but this is a period that if you still have designs on the playoffs, which the Penguins, at least outwardly, they do, you need to win this period. They went out there and they handled business, though. John Ludvík scores his 2nd goal of the season, 2nd goal of his career, shooting it from the point. A seeing eye shot that gets into the back of the net. P.O. Joseph picks up the assist, so too does Riley Smith. And the Penguins took the lead for the 3rd time in this game, now 4-3. Fortunately for them, they actually built on it this time. 2 minutes later, Rickard Rakell redirects a puck off of his skate. P.O. Joseph picks up the assist, and so too does John Ludvík, and the Penguins go up by a score of 5-3, and they just handled business from then on out up until the point where Brian Rust scores his 19th goal of the season. He gets a little bit of revenge from that early blown call by the referees. He gets his 19th with an empty netter late in the game. Chris Letang and Sidney Crosby pick up the assist, and that's where things stood at 0-0, 6-3 victory for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's move over to talk about the 3 stars of the game in this one. 3rd star, Tristan Jarry. The Penguins might have won 6-3. The goal scoring might have resurrected itself in this game, but they would have been nowhere near close to being in position to take control of this game if it wasn't for Tristan Jarry in the first period. He continues to stand on his head. I continue to be baffled by people that still believe that that contract was a bad contract. Yeah, 5 years is a long time, but if he's performing at this level for 3 of those 5 years, then you're in a pretty good spot with your starting goaltender. So Tristan Jarry, 30 saves on 33 shots, and some of those goals being tap-ins because of defensive breakdowns. He's had a great season, and he is a primary reason why they went out and got the victory last night. John Ludvík, to me, is the 2nd star of this game. He matches his career points total in 1 game with his first multi-point performance of his career, 1 goal, 1 assist, including his first career GWG game-winning goal for John Ludvík. Nice to see for the youngster. He's obviously going to try to etch out a spot for himself on next year's team. He's been in and out of the lineup with injuries, in and out of the lineup due to healthy scratches this year, looking to solidify his role on a defense that right now should be up for grabs. The Penguins should be looking to make substantial changes on the blue line. Ludvík trying to make sure that he's part of the solution and not part of the problem going forward in the final month of the season. First star in this game, and it was evident this game and last game who the best player on the ice was for the Penguins, and it wasn't Malkin. It wasn't Crosby, it wasn't Letang, it wasn't Carlson, it was Drew O'Connor. second game back from a concussion, was shot out of a cannon basically on every single shift, showed some hands on certain plays, some important dekes that drew penalties at certain points of this game. He added to his already career high point total with two assists in this one, and he is certainly showing that not only is he an everyday NHLer, which was the at least challenge on the outset of the season for him, was can he prove that he belongs in this league night in and night out? And he's done that. And at this point, the question now is he a top six winger heading into next season? He certainly looks like it the last couple of games, and he's looked like it through stretches of this season. If he can find that scoring consistency, Drew O'Connor might be a diamond in the rough for this team and a very important piece for this team if they're looking to do anything next season. Final thoughts on this one. Somehow, by hook or by crook, the Penguins have gotten closer to a playoff spot, and they're closer today to a playoff spot than they have been in a pretty long while here over the last month. They finished the night 5 points back of the second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. Make it make sense. It doesn't make sense to me, and mostly because the Detroit Red Wings have fallen off a cliff. 7 straight losses for the Winged Wheels, and all of a sudden, not only are the Islanders right there, they also lost last night. Not only are the Capitals a point off, not only are the Buffalo Sabres right there, but the Penguins are within 5 points. They were winning a lot in late December, early January, and it seemed like they just couldn't get over the hump, couldn't get in. And all of a sudden, their last 9 games, they have 2 victories, and they've pulled closer to the playoffs. It doesn't make sense, but sometimes hockey just doesn't make sense. Now, the other 2 spots that we'd been talking about, the Wild Card 1 and the Metropolitan 3, those are still about 7 to 9 points out of range, about where they've been for the last couple of weeks. But 5 points out of a playoff spot, it's intriguing. I'm not buying in simply because, as of right now, they haven't proven, at least in this month, and we're halfway through March, that they can beat a team ranked above 29th in the NHL. Their 2 wins this month are against the San Jose Sharks, who are, I believe, 31st or 32nd in the NHL, and the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are 29th in the NHL. Those are their only victories, and those are both on home ice as well. There's going to be a lot more difficult games coming up on the schedule, games in which, when you looked at how they've performed in those matchups, it hasn't gone well. So, can they do it? If you're simply looking at the standings, yes. If you've watched the games, it feels a little bit further away, but you know, the stats are the stats and the facts are the facts. The Penguins are right now 5 points outside of a playoff spot. Do they deserve to be in that position? Probably not. Probably not when you're 2-6-1 in your last 9 games, but somehow they've pulled close and they're within 5 with about a month to go in the regular season. Up next for the Pittsburgh Penguins, talk about difficult teams, talk about difficult matchups. They take on the Metropolitan Division leading New York Rangers at PPG Paints Arena over the weekend on Saturday. The Rangers won the only meeting between these two teams, 1-0 back in November. That was Jonathan Quick standing on his head in Pittsburgh. We'll see if he's able to do it for a second consecutive game, this time a couple months apart. Who knows if it'll be Quick or Shesterkin, but either way, the Penguins, a team that has, outside of yesterday, struggled to score. Are they going to be able to take down one of the better teams in the NHL's Eastern Conference? That's going to be a huge game for the Penguins, a huge game for momentum, a huge game for morale. If they're able to win that game, I don't know if I'd buy in just yet, but there's a way that if they win both games this weekend, they might be within 4 or 3 points of a playoff spot. And I don't know how you vision this team making the playoffs. I think it's a very much a long shot, but again, if they could just flip that switch, they haven't all season, but if they could just flip that switch, the other teams in this conference and in this race might have just waited long enough for them to get back in it. I don't know. It's certainly going to be an interesting month, especially if they can find a way to make that 5-point deficit 3-2-1. That would make it very intriguing going into April and certainly give people something to hope for. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Iceberg Recap. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.